The headlines this hour. During an IRGC Navy drill in the Persian Gulf, Major General Salami warns any threat against the Iranian islands will meet a crushing response. Israeli forces perform another raid on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus, injuring many Palestinians. And foreign nationals are being evacuated from Niger amid chaos caused by last week's military coup in the African country. Thanks for joining us. The Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, has launched military drills in the Persian Gulf with the aim of increasing readiness to defend Iranian islands. The maneuvers are also aimed at displaying the IRGC's naval power. Various units taking part in the drills that include combat, missile, drone, navy, and other units. The exercises kicked off early on Wednesday on the Iranian island of Bu Musa with the country's military top brass in attendance. The chief commander of the IRGC addressed the drills. Major General Hossein Salami warned any threat against Iran will draw a decisive response from the armed forces.
Iranians are vigilant. Iran will respond to all threats, complex conspiracies, mysterious scenarios, and malicious plots. We will give them such a response that would make them regret their deeds.
The IRGC chief commander stressed that Iran is determined to defend its territorial integrity in every corner of the country. Salami also rejected any foreign presence in the region. He said regional countries themselves are able to maintain their security. The general noted that foreign policies adopted by the U.S. and Israel have brought the region insecurity, war, instability, and division. Israeli forces have conducted a new raid on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus, injuring dozens of Palestinians there. The regime forces used bullets and toxic gas at the Palestinians objecting to the raid. Dozens of them suffocated after inhaling tear gas. The Palestinian Health Ministry says two men were seriously injured after being hit by live rounds. The raid comes one day after Israeli forces fatally shot two young Palestinians under the pretext that they were planning anti-regime operations. The resistance movement Hamas hailed the operation as a natural response to the regime crimes across the occupied territories. Israel has killed more than 200 Palestinians since the start of the year. A correspondent, Mona Kandil, joined us earlier to give us more details about the latest Israeli raid on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus.
Israeli forces raided areas in the Nablus district, Beit Furik, and the eastern part of Nablus, in order to, let's say, prepare the roads for the Israeli settlers to raid the eastern part as part of their storming raid to Joseph's tomb, known by the Palestinians as Qabr Yosef. This area, where the Israelis considered a very holy site for them, every several days, the settlers raid Nablus and they storm the Joseph's tomb, surrounded and backed and supported by dozens of Israeli forces who attack the Palestinians. Palestinians who go to this area in order to prevent the settlers' raid and in order to force the Israeli soldiers out of the area. The Palestinian presidency issued a statement saying that the international silence to the non-stop Israeli raids to the Palestinian areas would definitely encourage the Israeli authorities and the Israeli military to continue their aggression and the raids to the Palestinian areas.
The first military planes carrying European nationals evacuated from Niger have landed in France and Italy. The aircraft carrying hundreds of nationals landed in Paris and Rome early on Wednesday. More Europeans will be evacuated from Niger in the coming days. The evacuations are taking place following a military coup in Niger last week. There are now fears of a wider conflict in West Africa's Sahel region. Italy says it will help nationals from other countries leave Niger as well.
The Americans There are American citizens. There are also European passengers and non-European foreigners whom we managed to bring out of Niger and ensure their safety.
Anti-Western sentiments run high in Niger in the wake of the military coup there. At the weekend, protesters attacked the French embassy in the capital, Niamey. They demanded all Western forces, including those of France, to leave the country. Coup leaders have accused France of intervening in Niger's internal affairs. They have warned against any foreign military intervention to reinstate the president. Mali and Burkina Faso have also said that they would consider any regional intervention in Niger to be a declaration of war. Meanwhile, Niger has begun reopening borders with several of its neighbors. Inam Richardson, organizer with the All African People's Revolutionary Party, joined us earlier and walked us through the current situation unfolding in Niger.
This coup that just happened in Niger is reflective of a broader change that's sweeping across the region of the Sahel. So for a long time, the people of Niger have anticipated a potential coup, as has happened in neighboring states, Mali and Burkina Faso, hoping that a military government could bring in a leader that is willing to align with various sort of multipolar interests, not necessarily keep Niger so firmly within the NATO camp. Niger is the country with the largest U.S. military base in the region, one of the largest in Africa after Djibouti, which is located in Agadez. It's a U.S. Africa Command AFRICOM base. It also has a CIA base near the Niger-Libya border. And then ever since Mali exiled the French troops from its own lands, the French have doubled down their military operations focused on Niger. So this is a result of rising tension in a region where the majority of the people no longer see France as a partner and understand that the relationship between France and its former colonies is a relationship that is more akin to neocolonialism than partnership.
Tunisian President Kais Saied has appointed a new prime minister, the third in this position in less than 3 years.
Good luck in this responsibility that you will bear during this particular situation. There are great challenges that we must tackle with solid determination and a strong will.
Ahmed Hachani, former director at Tunisia's central bank, has replaced Najla Boudin, who served 2 years in the post. The power transition comes amid a deepening economic and social crisis in the country. Tunisians have held numerous anti-government protests to vent their anger at political situation there, high unemployment and rising inflation included. In recent weeks, the president has repeatedly blamed officials for the crises, saying that they must act to address problems and poor public services, including frequent water and electricity cuts. Saied took control of almost all powers in July 2021. He then sacked the government, froze the country's parliament, in a move that his critics described as a coup. Ukrainian authorities have declared an air raid alert across the country as Russia launches fresh drone strikes on the capital, Kiev, and the port city of Odessa. Kiev's mayor and military officials said air defenses shot down a number of Russian drones over the capital. The fall of drone wreckage really caused damage to multiple districts, including busy Solomianski, which hosts an international airport. Earlier, officials warned residents to stay in shelters. The southern Odessa region was also targeted. That caused damage to its port and set some grain silos on fire. There were no reports of casualties in either incident. Russia and Ukraine have recently conducted several drone attacks on each other. On Tuesday, Russian air defenses shot down several drones over the Moscow region, with one hitting a tower that was struck for the second time this week. Johnny Miller in Moscow elaborates on the drone attack taking place during the war between Russia and Ukraine.
Drones, this may well be the first war in which drones have played such a major part, and they're increasingly playing an even more major role for both sides. I think globally we're seeing a move towards use of drones in warfare. And so Ukraine is striking Moscow. Obviously, Russia takes this very seriously. They're particularly trying to strike Crimea as well. Crimea, the most important area for NATO anyway, to try and attack. Also drone attacks on Russian shipping. And of course, Russia has a huge array of drones themselves, which they launch at Ukrainian cities. Also, Ukrainian tanks, artillery positions on the front lines. So very much both sides moving toward, they have been for some time, use of drones and using it in large-scale attacks against each other.
Legal trouble is piling up for former U.S. President Donald Trump. The ex-Republican president faced criminal charges for a third time in 4 months. The charges pertain to Trump's efforts to overturn his 2020 election defeat to incumbent President Joe Biden. The four-count indictment alleges that Trump conspired to defraud the U.S. by preventing Congress from certifying Biden's victory. The charges stem from the election probe led by Special Counsel Jack Smith. He has accused the former president of spreading lies about his election loss.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. The attack on our nation's capital on January 6, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election. We love you.
We will be back. Trump has been ordered to make an initial appearance in federal court. His campaign called the indictment a political persecution reminiscent of Nazi Germany. Trump's supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol in January 2021. They wanted to stop Congress from certifying Biden's victory. Trump now campaigns to regain the presidency next year. No other U.S. president, current or former, has ever faced criminal charges. China is still reeling from days of torrential rain that caused deadly floods and pummeled the country's northern parts, including the capital, Beijing. At least 11 people are confirmed dead and 13 missing after rainstorms brought by Typhoon Doksuri lashed Beijing over the past several days. Authorities have also evacuated over 100,000 people in Zhuozhou, a city in Hebei province. Thousands of emergency personnel have been dispatched to the affected areas, while police helicopters are dropping emergency supplies to residents who remain trapped. The torrential rain is said to be the heaviest since records began 140 years ago. President Xi Jinping has called for thorough search and rescue efforts. The finance ministry has also announced that it would allocate $15 million for the Beijing-Tianjin-Hebei region. An Iraqi woman who went viral on social media attempting to save a Quran from desecration in Denmark has been identified. Quds al-Samarai says that she suffered injuries during the confrontation with two far-right elements and was later arrested on theft charges. Rob Carter has traveled to Denmark to meet with al-Samarai and has filed this report.
The Arab woman who took on two far-right activists in a bid to save a Quran from desecration in Denmark has been identified. Iraqi-Danish citizen Quds al-Samarai risked her own life while en route to visit a friend on Monday, the 24th of July. The footage of the incident, which occurred outside Iraq's embassy, went viral on social media. The video clearly shows Quds grabbing the Quran before being wrestled to the ground by the two men. In one instance, one of the desecrators can be seen with his hands reaching for her neck. Police later arrested Quds on accusations she was stealing the Quran from the activists. Quds explained how the incident left her with minor injuries, but no regrets.
Here the police dragged me, and the man was shouting that I stole his property. I think he was scared because he knew hitting me was wrong, so he had to justify it by saying I stole. As soon as the police heard the word stealing, they immediately put me in handcuffs and gave him back the Quran. The police asked me what happened. I said I saw our Quran being burned, and I just wanted to put it out. And then I saw another Quran with shoes on it, and I wanted to take the shoe off. But I didn't realize that the shoe was nailed on the Quran. I told the police they hit me and strangled me, but they replied with, it's their freedom of speech. So I replied, okay, so it's also my freedom of speech to protect the Quran. I thought the police to help me, but they turned out to twist the story by saying I was trying to steal.
Quds now faces a day in court, while her injuries have left her struggling to walk. Meanwhile, Muslims across the world remain in a state of anger as calls for serious action and retaliation to Europe's defense of far-right hate speech continues.
Despite Copenhagen officially condemning the incident which occurred just where we stand outside Iraq's embassy a few days ago, that doesn't mean that they've outlawed the practice. And according to reports, several other similar incidents have already occurred since, with far-right activists again targeting the diplomatic buildings of Muslim-majority nations here in the Danish capital. However, this has come at a price. Denmark's defense of the so-called free speech of far-right activists to attack Islam's holy sanctities has led to both Denmark and Sweden's reputation to plummet across the Muslim world. Questions should surely be asked now whether it is indeed within the diplomatic interests of European countries to defend such a fringe extremist practice when, of course, there is so much at stake with economic backlashes from the Muslim world. Robert Carter, Copenhagen.
And that is it for this edition of World News. Thanks for being with us. It's bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
There has been growing concerns among British charities and campaigners that with the cost of living crisis continuing to rage, increasing numbers of British people are turning to often expensive forms of credit to cover everyday spending and expenses such as food, housing and fuel. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. New data showed personal loan rates have doubled in little more than 18 months, spelling far higher costs for financially squeezed households hoping to borrow money. In early December 2021, just before official interest rates began their seemingly relentless march upwards, someone with a good credit rating who was looking for a new £5,000 personal loan to be paid back over 36 months would have potentially been able to access Best Buy rates starting at 3.3% from companies such as Sainsbury's Bank and the AA. Fast forward to this week and Best Buy rates for the amount and loan term started at 6.6% from Sainsbury's Bank. However, in many cases, the top rates have more than doubled, Several loan providers have been offering rates below 3.5% in December of 2021, are now offering rates at 7.2% and even higher. Also, the rate someone is offered will depend on their personal circumstances, so many people will be asked to pay a rate that is considerably higher than these Best Buy rates. However, even based on a previous and new Best Buy rate of 3.3% and 6.6% respectively, that means new customers who can now access these rates are having to shell out an extra £267 in interest rates over 36 months for the same debt. The numbers were compiled for Guardian Money by Andrew Hager at the personal finance website Moneycombs. Andrew Hager says, people hoping to borrow money via a personal loan or credit card are facing far higher costs since this cycle of 13 consecutive interest rate rises kicked off back in December of 2021. He adds, rates for Best Buy loans have doubled, so changing the car or home improvement borrowing is now far more costly and at a time where consumer budgets are already stretched to bursting point. In Britain, there has been growing concern among charities and campaigners that with the cost of living crisis continuing to range, increasing numbers of British people are turning to often expensive forms of credit to cover their everyday spending and expenses, such as food, housing and fuel. According to new figures from the Money Charity, the average credit card debt a British household stood at £2,350 in May of this year. That was up from £2,197 a year earlier, and £1,938 in May of 2021. The most recent data from the Bank of England revealed that the average interest rate on the credit cards hit a record high of 20.44% in May. Some loan providers have been pushing through fairly chunky rate rises lately. Some John Lewis Partnership cardholders have just been told that their purchase rate will rise from 20.72% to 24.49% from 30th of September this year. Credit card rates are variable, although in many cases they are not explicitly linked to the base rate. However, the Moneycombs data shows that the rate has definitely been creeping up. In December of 2021, several of the leading players, including Barclaycard and HSBC, had interest rates for purchases of 21.9% for new customers. Andrew Hager says, in recent days, these stood at 24.9% and 23.9% respectively. He adds that the credit card rate examples above apply to new customers, but that unfortunately the reality will have been even worse for some existing cardholders whose rates are linked to the base rate. Andrew Hager says, it's a case of roles reversed, with savers now enjoying decent returns for once, while borrowers have seen cheap money deals simply disappear. The most recent Bank of England data also stated that the average rate on new personal loans to individuals stood at 8.27% in May. Meanwhile, a typical overdraft rate is now just a little over 21%. The British newspaper The Daily Mirror has also covered the same story and tells us more. Almost 8 million British people are thought to be teetering on the edge of a financial cliff. Consumer group Which? Warned of a debt time bomb after household bills rocketed. The families it classes as drained and desperate earn less than £20,000 and cut back to skipping meals, but which also has concerns about the anxious and at-risk group, which accounts for 7.9 million adults. These tend to be from large families, have children, and have managed to stay afloat by using credit, which says they are much more likely now to have borrowed money to maintain basic living standards rather than limit food and energy. But with interest rates still rising, they may soon start struggling. Almost 40% of this group has a mortgage or loan on their home. A fifth of those with a mortgage are on a variable tracker mortgage, meaning their rates are hiked every time the Bank of England base rate rises. One woman from Northern England said, "I have to use credit to make ends meet and I do worry about debt. I have no safety net for emergencies and I will have to work past state pension age." Rocío Concha, Director of Policy and Advocacy at Which, said, "Until now, the British government and policymakers claimed they have focused on supporting the millions already failing to make ends meet. But this ancient and at-risk group is a ticking time bomb." Rocío Concha added, "They are far more likely to have relied on borrowing, but with the interest rates continuing to rise, it's only a matter of time before they find themselves facing serious hardship. The government must help those most in need by tightening regulation on buy now, pay later loans, and ensuring businesses are doing everything they can to ease pressure on household finances." The website of This Is Money has also reported on the same story. Britain's mortgage lender saw an increase in the number of customers defaulting on their loans in the 3 months to the end of June and expect more borrowers to miss payments in the coming months. Lenders' responses to the Bank of England's credit conditions survey revealed a 30% increase in mortgage defaults in the second quarter of this year. This was an increase compared with the 3 months to March, when the proportion of missed payments increased by 14%. Lenders expect defaults to increase again in the third quarter as rising interest rates and inflation continue to batter British households and its finances. Stephen Perkins, Managing Director at broker Yellow Brick Mortgages, said, "They're already rising, but lenders are expecting losses and default rates on secured loans to increase even further in the next quarter, which is unsurprising given the heights that interest rates are now reaching." Stephen Perkins added, "Demand for credit is also expected to fall in the third quarter, which again is what you would expect in such a brutal economic climate." He added, "Repeated increases to the Bank of England's base rate have done nothing to curb inflation and are massively impacting the economy and pushing millions of British families' finances beyond the brink."
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Jannah, You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are focusing on the first sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about certain aspects of prophethood, especially with regards to the continuity of the prophetic mission. And we reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, رُسُلٌ لَا تُقَصِّرُ قِلَّةُ عَدَدِهِمْ وَلَا كَثْرَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ لَهُمْ. He says that these are messengers that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were such that they were not stopped from performing their duty, and their success was not cut short due to the large presence of enemies or the people who were belying them and spreading lies against them, and those who were spreading negative propaganda against them. The messengers were always successful. La tuqassiru bihim. That means their mission and their aims and their objectives were not unsuccessful. They achieved them by the steadfastness that they had in doing what is right.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when you say that the prophets always were victorious, were always victorious in all their missions, what do you mean exactly? Do you mean that they won all the wars? Well, there were wars that the prophets were defeated. There were wars where the Imam, for example, was defeated in the battlefield, in the physical battlefield. So does it mean that if you're in the right track, you will always be physically successful in the material sense? No, it is not necessary. There are high chances that you will be successful, that you will win, because a believer is generally stronger than an unbeliever. This is something that is proven. His faith is stronger, his understanding about life is stronger, the way he deals with problems is stronger. That's how a believer is. Believers are generally strong people. Now, so the chances of them winning are high, but the question is that physical winning is not necessarily what we say success. And that is why you will see that at times prophets were killed, literally. Now, when a prophet is killed, does it mean that he has become unsuccessful? In fact, no. In fact, the way the prophet dies and the circumstances in which the death happens, it creates a very powerful role in the guidance of the society. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained, rather, that the prophets will be successful in their mission. Yes, sometimes it may be erased, their effects may be erased slightly, or they may become blurred by the wrong people. But the statements are never deleted. They are always there, and they are retrievable. And that is why, even today, despite the fact that certain teachings of Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, have been blurred by the wrong people, but if a person were to refer back to them in a very sincere manner, he can try and revive that monotheistic attitude that is there in all the Abrahamic faiths. So, the teachings of the prophets will always remain. The effect that the prophet was supposed to have on the society will always be there. And this being the case, success is always present with the chosen prophet of God. This is something that is there according to Imam Ali alayhi salam here, when he says, رُسُلٌ لَا تُقَصِّرُ بِهِمْ قِلَّةُ عَدَدِهِمْ وَلَا كَثْرَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ لَهُمْ. Messengers are such that they perform their actions, of course, in the best way. They do their duties as a messenger completely. But also, they become successful in the mission that they wanted to do. So even if a prophet gets martyred, his mission is complete and has been successful. And we should realize that the prophets are not limited only to their times, but also their scope is wider than that.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, the prophets of God, sometimes we feel that their scope is limited only to the people who are alive at that particular time. And therefore we feel that if those people belied the messengers and they did not listen to the messengers, therefore the prophet was not successful. No. The prophet may be aiming for generations to come. So when he lays down the foundations of a certain idea, or he propagates a certain type of faith, Of course, the monotheistic faith and the right understanding of religion, that doesn't mean that he's definitely aiming only for those who are presently alive, but rather he would be targeting the younger generation, or could be targeting those that are still going to come to this world. He wants to create that idea, that system that is going to spread towards the people of different areas. So when we talk about this issue, looks Rasulun la tuqassiru bihim qillatu adadihim, that their small numbers did not stop them from doing their duties. This is what we mean, that the duties were fulfilled by the messengers despite all the difficult circumstances. And that is why you see that the messengers of the past, they may have mentioned certain statements that may have been ignored at certain points in time, but then suddenly those statements become serious. They become approved. They become liked by the generations to come. And then you realize, this statement was actually spoken by our imams, or they were spoken by some great scholar, or they were spoken by some prophets of God. And then you understand the idea that, the mission of the prophet as he comes to this world has been guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and that he is going to give peace and solace to those who are taking this path and who are struggling in this way. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the Limelight.
A new study says a major system of ocean currents that ferries heat from the tropics to the North Atlantic could shut down far sooner than expected. Such a collapse would prove catastrophic for Earth's climate. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to WEON, an ocean current system responsible for transporting heat from the tropics to the North Atlantic may shut down much earlier than previously thought, with potentially catastrophic consequences for Earth's climate. Recent predictions indicate that an ocean current system known as the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or AMOC, has been weakening as the Earth continues to warm up. Despite this, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, had previously stated that the complete shutdown of the AMOC was not expected to happen within this century. But a new study by a group of researchers from Niels Bohr Institute at the University of Copenhagen has challenged the notion, suggesting that the AMOC could halt as early as 2025. The findings were published on Tuesday, July 25th, in the journal Nature Communications. Using advanced statistical tools and ocean temperature data from the last 150 years, the researchers calculated that the ocean currents known as the Thermohaline Circulation, or the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, AMOC, will collapse with 95% certainty between 2025 and 2095, the study said. The most probable time for this collapse is estimated to be around 2057. Though some climate scientists urge caution, pointing to the uncertainties in the data that could affect accuracy, the mere possibility of the AMOC shutting down so soon remains deeply concerning. The AMOC, which includes the Gulf Stream, plays a crucial role in carrying heat away from the tropics. Without it, the tropics would experience rapid temperature increases and disruption of vital tropical rains, with severe impacts on the environments of regions such as South America, Western Africa, India, and other parts of South Asia. Shutting down the AMOC can have very serious consequences for Earth's climate, for example, by changing heat wave and precipitation are disturbed globally. While a cooling of Europe may seem less severe as the globe as a whole becomes warmer and heat waves occur more frequently, this shutdown will contribute to an increased warming of the tropics, where rising temperatures have already given rise to challenging living conditions, Professor Peter Ditlevsen from the Niels Bohr Institute said in an official statement. Furthermore, northern and western Europe would lose its supply of warm water from the tropics, leading to increased storms and extremely cold winters in those areas. The absence of the Gulf Stream would also result in rising sea levels along the eastern seaboard of the United States. The website of Earth Sky also noted, we don't often see a scientific paper that uses the word warning in its title, but a new paper published on July 25, 2023 in the prestigious journal Nature does use that word. It describes an imminent collapse of a key system of ocean currents due to global warming. The paper is titled Warning of a Forthcoming Collapse of the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. And this paper says the collapse could come as early as 2025. The ocean currents of the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, as known as AMOC, help transport heat around the globe, so they are a key factor in a wide variety of weather and climate conditions. A collapse of this system of currents could cause a precipitous drop in temperatures in Europe, including Scandinavia. It could raise sea level on the U.S. East Coast, and it could disrupt rainfall that billions of people depend on for food in India, South America, and West Africa. The new calculations come from scientists at the University of Copenhagen. Peter Ditlevsen of the university's Niels Bohr Institute led the study and told The Guardian, I think we should be very worried. This would be a very, very large change. The AMOC has not been shut off for 12,000 years. The shutdown could come as early as 2025, the scientists found, or as late as 2095, with the greatest probability occurring around the year 2057, if current greenhouse gas emissions persist. These new results contradict the latest report from the IPCC, which suggested the AMOC would not shut down until sometime in the 22nd century. As always, not everyone agrees on the exact timing, but there has been evidence prior to this that the currents in the AMOC system are vulnerable to climate change, and there is widespread acknowledgement that a change in these currents would change Earth's weather. David Thornalley at University College London told The Guardian that the study had large caveats and unknowns. He said further research was essential, but he said, if the statistics are robust and a relevant way to describe how the actual AMOC behaves, then this is a very concerning result. The researchers' prediction relies on observations of what they called early warning signals that ocean currents exhibit as they become unstable. These early warning signals for the thermohaline circulation had been reported previously. However, according to these scientists, it's only now become possible to predict when a collapse will occur, thanks to the development of advanced statistical methods. Susan Ditlevsen of the University of Copenhagen's Department of Math Sciences, the new study's co-author, said, "Using new and improved statistical tools, we've made calculations that provide a more robust estimate of when a collapse of the AMOC is most likely to occur. This is something we had not been able to do before." They said the thermohaline circulation has operated in its present mode since the last iceberg, which ended approximately 11,000 years ago. During that ice age, the circulation of these ocean currents did indeed collapse. Abrupt climate jumps between the present state of the AMOC and the collapse state has been observed to happen 25 times in connection with ice age climate. These are the famed Dansgaard-Oseager events, first observed in ice cores from the Greenlandic ice sheet. At those events, climate changes were extreme with 10 to 15 degrees Celsius changes over a decade. Meanwhile, the present day's climate change is 1.5 degrees Celsius, warming over a century.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT5 and IntelSat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the Internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This blessed hadith is about the virtue and merit of altruistic and self-sacrificing people. As you know, self-sacrifice or altruism, which we call in Arabic isar, is a very important virtue. In fact, according to some hadiths, self-sacrifice is the highest virtue and the peak of all virtues. Imam Ali alayhi salam has been narrated as having said, "Al-isar a'lal makarim." And in many places in the Holy Quran, altruism and self-sacrifice has been praised. And this is kind of tied up with, the month we are in, which is the month of Muharram. And as you know, in this month, Imam Hussein alayhi salam sacrificed himself, and as did some of his companions and some of his family members, on the path of equity and justice and in the promotion of fairness in society. And for this, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners on this most grave and sad occasion. In one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following. They are as well for those who settled in the land and abided in faith before them, who love those who migrate towards them and do not find in their breasts any need for that which is given to them, but prefer the immigrants to themselves, though poverty be their own lot, and those who are saved from their own greed. It is they who are the felicitous. In this connection, this is the verse of the Holy Quran, in this connection we have a very nice hadith which has been narrated in the following manner. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and complained to him of hunger. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sent a messenger to the homes of his wives, but they said that they had nothing but water. Then the Prophet asked, "Who can host this man tonight? Who can take this man as a guest in his home and feed him?" Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said, "I will host him, O Messenger of Allah." He came to his wife, the Lady Fatima salamullah alayha, and asked her, "What do we have in our home, O daughter of the Prophet?" She replied, "We only have food for tonight." Meaning we don't have enough food for tomorrow. All we have is enough food to feed us tonight. But we would rather give it to our guest. Even though we don't have enough food, you know, to last us more than one day, we will give it to our guest, the guest you have invited. He, meaning Imam Ali alayhi salam, said, O daughter of the Prophet, take the children to bed and put off the lamp. You know, extinguish the lamp. The next morning,